If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 30. I want to preach tonight, if I can, with the Lord's help, and try not to be too long, on the anointed life, not being just filled with the Spirit of God or having the baptism of the Holy Ghost or speaking in tongues, but being anointed, living an anointed life. Jesus said in Isaiah chapter 61, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for the Lord hath anointed me." Everybody say me. Individual anointing. "For the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for the Lord hath anointed me." What? To preach good tidings unto the meek. What? To bind up the brokenhearted. What? To set the captive free. The opening of the prison doors of them that are bound. God does not anoint an individual without a purpose. Can you say amen? Now, the anointing of the Lord is the tangible power of God. It's beyond just the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's beyond just speaking in tongues. Amen. The anointing is God's favor and tangible power upon the life of that individual. He consecrates that life. Can you say amen? His tithes bother. I've behaved up to now. But my wife's not here, so I'll just throw it out there. Amen. I want to give you and show you the difference in having just the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues and being anointed. I'm afraid that we've kind of generic everything and diluted it down so bad that we really don't really understand the deepness of anointing. The anointing is a word that Pentecost uses pretty freely, do we not? But I'm here to tell you that not all are anointed. Even having the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues does not mean that you may be a totally anointed vessel. Anointing to me, as I see it in the Old Testament's context, and then in the New Testament's context, it is that God didn't just put His power on somebody, but He used their life even. They were a consecrated, dedicated, sold out vessel. It wasn't just getting the power of God one time or two times or just once in a while. They lived a life that was pleasing to God in a sense that God had consecrated them and set them apart. Can you say amen? And so I believe that yes, God anoints and touches people and uses them for specific things, because Jesus said, "I'm anointed. The Spirit of God is upon me, for the Lord, for God has anointed me." The Bible says in Acts 10:38 how the Holy Ghost anointed Jesus and He went about doing good. Can you say amen? Don't tell me you're anointed and you don't do anything. Because if you're anointed, then you'll be a consecrated, dedicated, even a vessel that has the heart and mind of God. And you will be His vessel in His hand to be used. Can you say amen? Oh God, help me. And so I want to talk to you about the anointed life. Living in a submissive life to the Holy Spirit. I believe a lot of Pentecostals have missed it because they feel like they've arrived just because they speak in tongues. They feel like they've arrived just because they have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But there's a deeper walk. Can you say amen? There's a deeper walk. Jesus said, "I'm anointed because God's anointed me to do this." And I want to speak to somebody about being anointed to do something for God. To being a vessel that God can be used, that He can use at any time. Because you're surrendered. You're submissive. Can you say amen? In Exodus chapter 30, I did not forget my text. but I'm leading up to it. Amen. Verse 23 on down to verse, amen, 25. Amen. God gives Moses the instructions on the ingredients of the anointing oil. Amen. Praise God. Verse 22 says, moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, sweet cinnamon. And then he goes on down and lists the other ones. I can't pronounce them very well. Calamus and cassia, I believe, and olive oil. Five ingredients that God distinctly gives to Moses for the apothecary to put and make him this anointed oil that was to be used, amen, to anoint the vessels of the tabernacle and the priest and all things that were to be holy and set apart. Praise God. And so in the Old Testament, you can see that there's a higher degree to this anointing, that the Spirit of God would come upon those to preach them things. But when God, they used that anointing oil, it was to consecrate and set apart some vessel or some individual for the work of God. It was a life call. Do you hear me? It wasn't just a flash in the pan and just a one-time deal. Yes, I believe God uses some people in certain ways, maybe one time or something like that. But there's a call. There's a lifestyle that you need to be under the anointing of God. Can you say amen? The Bible said we are anointed, that we should be anointed, praise God. I want to look at these spices just briefly and show you that the ingredients here, God commanded Moses to put every one of these ingredients in this mixture called the anointing oil. Number one, the first spice was myrrh, dying, death. Come on now. This was the first spice because I believe that the first principle of going farther with God is you must die. You must crucify the flesh and die. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You must allow the old man must die, and the new man inside, the spiritual man inside, must rise up. Why is this the first spice? Because God knows that if you're anointed and you're not dead, your old man's not dead, then you'll be puffed up and pride will enter in, and pride will destroy you. Can you say amen? So to lead an anointed life, the first ingredient, I would have to say, is that you must be crucified and die and live a life of denial. Can you shout hallelujah? For Apostle Paul said this, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. How does a crucified man live? He went on to say, I live in Christ now. Christ liveth in me. The old man is dead. I've crucified him, and now I live in the power of Christ. Paul goes on to say, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, talking about the body of the Lord Jesus, the dying body being in him, and talking about how death worked in him, and how the working of death manifested life in him. He went on to say in Romans chapter 8 that the spirit of life was in him, and that death was in the carnal mind, but the spiritual mind gave life and peace. So Paul is giving us a principle here that in order to live this Christian walk in the anointing of the Lord, you must die. All your ambitions must die. Every motive must die. Every preconceived idea, everything that you've got that's fleshly born, has to die. There's no room for Ishmael and Isaac in your life any longer. You cannot let the bondwoman stay around. You've got to kiss Hagar goodbye and embrace Isaac, the spiritual man, and allow him to thrive and live. Because as long as the old man is living, and as long as you're feeding him, then you're going to die spiritually, because the new man, the inner man, the spiritual man, cannot thrive in an atmosphere where there's carnality. Come on now. Most people, if they was making this ingredients,
in most of the Pentecostal realms that I know of, they never pick death first. Because there's too much of a price to pay. You mean I got to die? You mean I can't be anointed and be selfish? You mean I can't be anointed and be egotistic? You mean I can't be anointed? I'm going to tell you, you can't grow in the anointing and you can't live a submissive, spirit-filled life as long as the old man is still living. You read all the writings of the fathers of the church and all the writings of Pentecostal, fathers of Pentecost in the early 1900s. And they all preach sanctification. They all preach crucifying the flesh and a life of denial. It's only in the recent years has flesh raised up and self-helps and the prophets of prosperity and the prophets of the flesh have prophesied about keeping yourself and your flesh. It's all right to do this and that, but I'd rather follow the fathers and rather follow Apostle Paul and Jesus himself, because Jesus said you got to deny yourself, pick up the cross and follow me, or you can't be my disciple. How clear is that? Can you say amen? I want to be anointed, but I don't want to die. Well, God may use you once in a while, but you'll never know the deepness or the richness of the anointing of the Lord. Here I am, John, on this side tonight. The deepness and the richness of God's anointing, unless you do die. Some folks, they feel a little goosebump and feel a little jerk and feel a little oomph, and they say, I'm spirit-filled. I'm Pentecostal. Feel that jerks every 6 months. Maybe every camp meeting, get a little hoop and holler. That's about it. Now, I'm not saying it's in the emotion of the holler. Never pray, never read their Bible, never have a daily devotion, never have their life don't change. Oh, they're anointed. Look like a metal detector's nightmare. Huh? Oh, they're anointed. All kinds of things going on in their life. Oh, they're anointed. Living with somebody who's not even their wife, they're anointed. Come on now. Man said to me one time, I'm anointed to pray for the sick with a big old stogie in his mouth. Amen. Puffing it in my face. I said, sir, I'm sorry. I don't know what you think you have, but what you think you had, maybe you thought you could get more if he got really saved. Amen. But he's puffing that thing in my face and saying, I'm anointed. I'm anointed to pray for the sick. I had no doubt that maybe somewhere along the line, maybe he was saved. Maybe he got saved. I don't know, and backslid or whatever happened. But somewhere along the line, the devil deceived him to tell him that was all there was. Can you say amen? But this anointing goes far deeper than just laying hands on the sick. This anointing goes far deeper than just praying for somebody. This anointing is the power of God that helps you to live a holy life, sanctified, and be the temple of the Holy Ghost, where God can live and dwell inside of you. This anointing rises up in you and helps you to live a holy life.
We've cheapened it. See, if someone picked the ingredients, they wouldn't have myrrh there. But see, God says, this is the order, Moses. You got to die first. Now notice the second spice, cinnamon. Cinnamon is a sweet spice. Was used to take away the stench of offerings. That stench, the smell of blood and flesh. They would throw cinnamon on to help take away the stench smell. You can't be sweet without dying first. You can't be anointed one minute and then raking someone over the coals the next minute. You're not living an anointed life. Come on now. But see, if the charismatic, if they had their choice, they'd say, let's have cinnamon. But we don't have to die. We can just be sweet and loving, and God is love. And them holiness people, they're just legalistics. And they're just old-fashioned. But we got revelation now. And God's love and sweet. And we're sweet and we're love. And I'm going to tell you what, all the cinnamon they preach and all the cinnamon that they shout about can take over the stench smell of a
of wickedness and carnality and worldliness that's in the church. Can you say amen? That's why God said you got to die first. Look at your neighbor and tell him you got to die first. Someone said, I wish we'd have stayed on with the altar call. That's because they were dealing with sinners there and backsliders. Now I'm dealing with you. Come on now. I'm talking about where we live, Pentecostals, because we want the anointing, do we not? We want to be anointed. We want the power of God, do we not? We're Pentecostal. We want to be used by God. We want to be anointed by God. But there's a price and there's a cost, and the first thing is myrrh. If you don't die and crucify the flesh, Paul said, I die daily. The great apostle Paul said, there's death working in me. I've got to die daily. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 24, if a stalk of wheat does die and goes not in the ground, then it stands alone. But if it dies and goes into the ground, then it'll bear much more fruit. Can you say amen? There's a lot of children of God that are standing alone. They're not bearing any fruit. Their life is not bearing fruit like it ought to be. Because they're standing alone, they will not let the death process happen in their life where God can crush them and break them and they die. Can you say amen? See the process of death. He was saying if that stalk of wheat stands up, it just there by itself. But if it goes down and deteriorates and begins to rot, then it goes into the process of what we call going into the ground. And then the seed or the heat of the ground beats on the seed and the shell breaks off of it. And then life comes out. Isn't it ironic that the paradox is you got to die to live. You can't live in your own self. Amen. And live. Really, you gotta die. So you gotta go in the ground. Isn't it paradox even that most of the activity of death really in the seed before you ever see it sprout out of the ground is death, and it's under the ground where nobody can see. God is dealing with your heart where no man can see. God is working on things that no man knows, and that's why the death process is never needful, because God has to keep you dead. He has to keep you in a process of brokenness and in a process so that life can flow out. Can you say amen? So we must die. Everybody say we've got to die. It's not easy to die. It's a daily process. It's a lifetime process dying. You think you're totally dead? Yeah. You're not dead. Let them push your buttons and see if you're dead. Come on now. Preacher friend of mine, Brother Holt, he helped a funeral director for a while. He even blessed God down in Martinsburg, West Virginia, and said they had a young boy working for him that was a little slow, you know, and said the funeral director wanted to pull a fast one on him and said, you know what, I want you to stay up all night and watch this body in the coffin. Amen. And the funeral director said to Brother Holder, I'm going to scare him good, because I'm going to crawl in the coffin, and then about 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to rise up out of that coffin and scare that old boy. I'm going to watch him run. Well, little did the funeral director know that old boy wasn't so slow as they thought he was. Because he thought, if I'm going to watch this body, I'm going to have a ball bat with me. Amen. Praise God. Because he said he might be alive, might be dead, I don't know. And so as the boy was watching him there, that funeral director began to moan and groan and moan and groan. And all of a sudden, he rose up. And when he rose up, praise God, that boy said, ah, you're alive, but I'm going to make you dead. And smacked him in the head. Put a knot on his head. Woo! Come on now. I'm a pastor, Brother Frazier, and I tell you what, spiritually, I like to put some knots on people's head and say, come on now, either dead or alive. I'm tired of you rising up from the dead, making excuses for your pettiness and your attitude and your motive and your temper and all things that need to be sanctified and under the blood. But you make excuses for it, and then you turn around and hoop and holler and shout like your pants are on fire next Sunday when you made a mess of it come Wednesday. Oh, I'm anointed. I knew a lady years ago, she'd speak in tongues for an hour at the altar, but if you crossed her, she'd cuss you out in the parking lot. You try to be her pastor, that's horrible. Huh? Where I come from, Central City, the first time I got my hair cut, I don't get it cut no more. My wife cuts it because I can't see giving him a whole lot of money. Then he wants a tip even. You know? I said, come on, man. You don't even spend 5 minutes with my hair after. So I told him I'd buzz it down. But the first time I got my hair cut there, he heard I was the preacher of the Pentecostal church. And he said, I heard you had camp meeting. I said, yes, sir. He said, I heard you had it with no fights. I thought, what kind of church am I pastoring? Yeah, he said, I heard the deacons didn't fight out in the parking lot. I thought, what in the world have I got myself into? I said, sir, we're Christian. We're Christ. We don't fight in the parking lot. We worship God. We're having a time. I said, why don't you come on out? He said, no, I'm Catholic. I said, well, then you know what fighting's all about. And I just turned over barrels on him and said, I heard you just ran your priest out 2 weeks ago. And I heard he's about the fifth one you run out. And how many times? Boy, he got real quiet. He's cutting hair. And I thought, my God, I better shut my mouth. He'll cut my ear off. Come on now. But you know it's true. You've been around Pentecostal long enough to see him get anointed and be Dr. Jekyll and Hyde. 1 minute anointed, the next minute slap you upside the head. I'm telling you, you're not dead. But the first ingredient is myrrh. God said if you want to be anointed, you want to be spirit-filled, you want to have a spirit-filled life, you've got to die. The old man's got to be on the altar, and you got to continuously be mortifying the deeds of your body. Come on now. You know it's true. That's why the anointing's not something to just play around with. God may anoint the immature, but to live in the anointing, you can't be immature. God may anoint somebody once in a while because he can't find someone else maybe. And I always say he used a rooster and a donkey so he can use you and I once in a while in spite of ourselves. But I'm telling you, it's not a lifestyle. It's not a life principle, Brother Frazier. Come on now. Just because God's merciful and in spite of yourself may use you or anoint or touch or move. Amen. That ain't a life principle. Can you say amen? You need to live a life principle. You need to be living a life of anointing. Walking in the anointing. Living. I'm not talking about just flaky kind of walking, floating around. I'm in the anointing all the time. I'm telling you, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. And he anointed me. And Jesus ate. And Jesus slept. And Jesus did daily things. And walked in whatever, but he was anointed of the Lord. Can you say amen? When that anointing is inside of you and you're living a life that's pleasing to God and God has consecrated and separated you and called you, you don't got to work it up. It's there. Can you say amen? If you just put down your flesh and just continually walk in a life that's pleasing to God and ask God to sanctify and set you apart and to use you and plead with God to crucify, help me Lord, to crucify this, then God will put you in a deeper walk, deeper call on to deep, and there'll be a walk of anointing in your life. So the second ingredient is cinnamon, and as I told you, that takes the stench out. And cinnamon is a type of the love of God or the fruits of the Spirit. I've seen people that are anointed and nasty, anointed and mean. I mean, mean. I even doubt how God anoints. I say, God, you anointed them, but they're downright mean and nasty. I've seen preachers nasty. I'm anointed. Stay away from me. I was in a camp meeting one time, went to this camp meeting, and stood by a tree for 20 minutes before anybody noticed. I looked around and thought, am I invisible? What in the world's going on here? You know what I'm saying? Everybody else was more anointed. I finally found a common brother like me. He come on over and said, has anybody shook your hand? I said, no. He said, no, they don't shake my hand either. I said, God bless you. That's fellowship. You're not anointed to be nasty. You're not anointed to be rude. You're not anointed. God does not anoint you to put you on a pedestal or everybody flock around you. He doesn't anoint you to raise a whole lot of money or buy condominiums or a jet or have a Rolls Royce. He doesn't anoint. Come on. Some of these men have abused and misused the anointing of God. And they will stand before God because they merchandise the holy and precious anointing of God that you and I love and revere. Do we not revere the anointing, the power, the presence of an almighty God when He steps into a place or He rises up within you? That's the best thing this side of heaven.
And so cinnamon is to be sweet. Look at your neighbor and tell him you need to be sweet. I think we need a revival of cinnamon. Sweetness. To get the stench. There's a lot of stinking going on. Stench. Whew. Come on now. Amen. So the first two ingredients is myrrh. You got to die. Second one, cinnamon. You got to be fresh. You got to have a fragrance about you. The cinnamon was to give a fragrance off. Myrrh don't give no fragrance. You, they crush it. There's more fragrance in it. But they had to crush it and crush it to get the fragrance to come out of it. Amen. Praise God. And cinnamon was just a natural fragrance. The third spice, which I can't pronounce very well, I want to say calamus. Amen. Praise God. Was a spice that grew on hard soil. This spice did not grow in soft soil. It grew in the hardest soil there was. Amen. You don't hear me tonight. I mean, where it was planted, it would bloom and go down no matter how hard the soil was. This spice could be planted in it and thrive and rise up. Oh, you don't hear me tonight. There's a lot of people want to be anointed, but nobody want to go through a hard place. Nobody want to be planted in a hard soil. Everybody wants to be planted and fertilized and pampered and petted, but nobody wants to be planted in hard soil. But this spice specialized. It thrived in hard soil. Can you shout hallelujah? And the anointing in you will help you and give you grace to thrive in hard places.
I think of crocuses up our way in Central City. We got crocuses and somebody planted them. I don't know who did. But the ones in the flower bed, they grow up every year. And they're there. And I had ones coming through the blacktop. And I thought, I don't know what happened here. When somebody got to planting, maybe the seed blew. Or I don't know what happened, but them ones coming up out of the blacktop seem like a rare place to be planted, don't you think? They got in the cracks and they came out of the cracks of the macadam in there. Amen, bless God. I went to cut them down with a weed eater and God spoke to me and said, don't touch them. I'll leave them there to speak to you. That's the way you ought to be. If I plant you in a hard place, the power of God and greater is He that is in you, and there is nothing that can hold you down if you'll die, if you'll go down. If you let the death process happen, you'll rise up out of the crux and the crevices and the hard place. Hey, listen, some of us have come up the hard way. We understand the hard place.
The anointing, the same anointing that you feel all over you when you play hands on the sick, is the same anointing that helps you to hold out and hold in and hold on in the hard place. Them crocuses being babied in the flowers and miracle growing. Ain't nobody babying them crocuses on the asphalt. Matter of fact, they all walk by and they all don't want them there. Spy, why don't you cut these down, preacher? Because I'm going to preach to you about them today. Huh? Why don't you just cut these down? Leave the ones that's pampered in the flower bed. But I'm going to tell you this much. You don't learn anything when you're pampered. You don't learn anything when you're in the flower bed and the miracle grows on you and someone watered you. You learn in the hard place, in the hard soil. That's where the anointing of God and maturity comes. God begins to mature you in the hard place. Come on now. I must move on.
The next spice is cassia. And it's found in the high mountains. 8,000 feet above. Man, it goes high. It goes up high. In order to get it, you got to climb. Now notice this truth. And I can't preach the whole message, but notice this truth. God leaves this spot down the road here because you can't get high revelations while you're still flesh is living. You got to die to get a little higher. Can you say amen? Everybody wants a revelation. Everybody wants a dream and a vision and a ministry and anointing while there's still the living part. But God says, I want you to die. I want you to go through a hard place. I want you to be planted where you don't want to be planted. I want you to have a garden experience where you pray, nevertheless, not my will. My will be done. If you've not been in the garden yet, guess what? You really don't know the richness of the anointed life. If you've not been in the garden, I've been in a hard place where you didn't want to be there, but you had to pray, Lord, thy will be done. My flesh, Lord, is in the way. Help me to get out of the way. And your will merge with the will of God to where you surrender and say to God, not my will. Every great man and woman of God that ever rose to a level of greatness in the army of God or in the kingdom of God had to die before they ever went up. Every one of them had their garden experience where they cried out to God, not my will, thy will be done. I cannot do this without your help. Now think what kind of egotistic, spoiled thing you would be and I would be if God just handed us the anointing without breaking us. Think what it would be like if God handed the anointing to immaturity. He does anoint people that are immature at times. And you can see the disaster that comes, do you not? They become like a man, a big head. Huh? Come like one young preacher said to me one time, come back from a revival meeting, working on the campground. He said to me, I just come out of revival. I said, great son, that's wonderful. I'm working, pounding something or whatever. He said, I casted 7 devils out of a man. I said, that's wonderful, great. I praise God, I'm wonderful. When's the last time you cast a devil out? And for a second, you know, I've been working on the campground so that he could go do his flash in the pan thing. I said, well, you know what? I'm going to think about it. I said, you know what? I don't go looking for him. I said, I live a life, try to live a pleasing life and let him come looking for me. He's backslid. He's away from God. He's not even in the ministry now. You know why? Because of immaturity. God trusted him, but gave him something, and he couldn't handle it. Because he hadn't been in a hard place yet. Hadn't been in a breaking place yet. Hadn't been where he's in the garden yet. Where God broke him down. Can you say amen? So God gave him a little bit of revelation, but he couldn't handle the revelation because he hadn't died yet. He hadn't got to the hard place yet where maturity comes in. You know what I'm talking about. Come on now. I believe God will use every one of us here. And I believe God wants to use us. But if we're going to live a life that's Spirit-filled and submissive to the Holy Spirit, it's a lifestyle. Not jump in, jump out. 1 minute I'm anointed. 3 months from now you can't find me. Come on now. Some folks got to anoint them. I have folks that will come to every revival I have. They'll jump in and shout and hoop and holler and run. And somebody will say, man, that's a spiritual member you have. And I'll think to myself, wow, just wait till revival's over and you won't find them for another 6 months till I have another revival. Then they come in and running like the seats on fire. Woo, and calling all my saints a bunch of deadheads, and why don't you shout and why don't you get with it? And I just want to rake them over the coals, but God has cinnamon in me. He's got to rise up. Amen. Because I want to say to them, don't you be beating on the saints of God. You play out, you play go AWOL, and then you come in acting like you're super spiritual, speaking in tongue, whatever. You haven't been around here to be beat on and go through the hard place. And you haven't been here. Where have you been? See those people. They get around. I wonder what kind of revelation they get, because they really don't get a revelation to come to church. They're like the lady at camp years ago that got a revelation. She's prophesying.
She come over to me and said, "Thus saith the Lord." I was sitting on the bench and I was tired. "Thus saith the Lord, you're going to China. 3 months from now, you're going to China. God's put a love in your heart for the Chinese people. I don't even know how to order Chinese food. I have probably ate in a Chinese restaurant probably 3 times in the last 15 years. Because I don't know what's goo, goo guy, goo pan, pan goo. I feel like when I'm ordering from the menu, I'm talking baby talk. Oh, I take the goo goo, whatever the goo goo is. What's on the menu today? Well, we got goo goo pan and goo goo whatever. Well, just give me the rat on the stick. I heard you got that too. Ah, some of you eat Chinese. I can see it now in your face. Come on now. But she prophesied this. Oh, you're going to China. I don't even, if I took a slow boat to China, I had no desire. I thought to myself, I don't know where she's coming from. But she's real spiritual about it. Ooh, 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 ooh. I'm feeling my head. I'm getting uncomfortable with somebody feeling my head like that. You know? Ooh, 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 ooh. I thought, my God, she's touching me places that only my wife feels with. Only my wife plays with my ears. Here she's playing with my ear. Oh, 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 oh. Eric, I'm sorry. Aren't you glad you're back from the island? Praise God, I'm glad you're here. I can pick on you. She playing, oh, oh, oh. My God, she getting a kick out of playing with my ears, or what's wrong with this one? Then after she got done with me, she went over to Albert the dog and said, "You, thus saith the Lord, you've been a faithful dog here. You know what I said? Thank you, God, for showing me immediately that we got an idiot among us." Oh, she's a piece of work. I had to keep her from prophet. Oh, she's a danger. She thought she's up in the clouds. She didn't die. She was up in the clouds. You know what I'm saying? The young people were saying, "Pastor Brady, I don't know what she's smoking, but I'm telling you what, she's high." And I said, "I'm telling you what, I've been high myself, but I'm telling you, she's on a high I never was on. I won't tell you that much." Oh, she come into church. That was before flag waving and all that stuff. She didn't even have a flag to wave. She just... I just grated me. Sit down. Shut up. Grow up. Somebody shout, "Grow up." You can't get high revelations unless you're grown up in this thing. Oh, I know God will be merciful and show young Christians things, and we need not to discourage them. But we need not to encourage them either to move on the emotional side of the hype. Come on now. We need to balance them. God is a God of balance. He didn't just say, "I'm going to give you high revelations and spices from the high Alps of whatever they were at, and you can pull them out and they're the high things." No, He said to them, "You're going to die first. There's sanctification here and holiness here." Amen. Come on now. He said there's love here and the fruits of the Spirit here, patience and long suffering and all that stuff too, because you got to walk this far. Come on now. Come on. Now, Moses got instructions from God, but God didn't keep him up on the mountain because the instructions would have done no good. He had to come down off the mountain to get in a real world to tell them what God had said. Can you say amen? And you need to be anointed. Let God take you up. You that are mature, get up there. Come on now. Come on back down with something from God, something from heaven. Come down with an anointing, a power that's from heaven. Can you say amen? Like Paul to say, "My preaching is not with the demonstration of man's wisdom, but in the power and demonstration of God." Paul said, "I can preach to you wise things and tell you all kinds of intelligence, but the power of God is what will set you free." Can you say amen? And so the last ingredient, someone's saying, "Wow, I know." The last ingredient was olive oil. Pure olive oil, beaten olive oil. And it was the compound to mix it all together. God is a God of balance. God is a God of order. And God is a God of structure. Come on now. This is the order. God said to Moses, "This is what you tell the apothecary. If he keeps any of it out, he's a dead man."
If he shortchanges any of it, he's a dead man. He has to give so many pounds to the right ounce, or he's a dead man. God is a serious God when it comes to the Spirit of God and the power of God. I don't want to scare you. Some people say, well, I'm scared to be used of God. I may be in my flesh. Well, you're not floating out going to heaven. You're in your flesh. Come on now. You're all flesh of you. I remember a big old farmer used to dance in our church. He'd get happy in the old Berwick church, and he'd get to dancing up there. And he had to go about 450 pounds. I'm telling you, he's a big young man, a big man. And he'd get to dance. He'd come in with his farmer boots on, and he'd make mud. Oh, the janitor would get mad. But he'd be shouting, and he'd shout so hard, and on that floor would bounce. That floor was old. When he'd come in shouting, I was young and skinny then, and I'd literally bounce on the platform like this. Now, I remember one old saint, she was like a judge, you know, old Snootendiddle. She walked up to him one day, she's so short, looked up and said, you're in the flesh. I thought, oh, God. Now, I thought, how's he going to handle this? You're in the flesh. You're in the flesh. And he said, you're right, Mama, patted her on the head. All 450 pounds of me. Dancing and shouting. I'm in the flesh, you're right. But I'm dancing in the spirit. She never had a word after that. She said, well, I guess you'll just dance on then. He said, I guess I will. Pastor ain't saying nothing about it. And I wasn't, because God was in it. He was dancing. He wasn't dancing. He wasn't a good dancer. Why would he dance to impress us? He wouldn't come to rug. Some people dance like they're doing the boogie woogie or something. Some people break dance or do the moonwalk. You almost wonder if they, you know, trying to dance for a contest or something. You know what I'm saying? But if that's what you come out of, maybe when you dance, that's the way you dance, because that's the only way you know how to dance. You might shake a little bit. I don't know. Amen. Bless God. Till God gets you a little sanctified and get a little holier, I guess, on it. I believe in dancing before the Lord. Don't you? I believe that David danced before the Lord with all of his might. And I believe he had his eyes open. I wish some folks would get their eyes open. We patched more plaster walls up. People that didn't have their eyes open ran through the wall. And I said, just dance and get your eyes open. Watch around. Huh? I don't know if that from Brother Larson. You can dance with your eyes open. I watch him just jig and jag and move around people. One time he did a hold down in our church. He got a hold down going. We're going to have a hold down tonight. Had a man in the back of the church that hated emotionalism. And he didn't like my preaching because I was too emotional. And I don't even know why he hung around, tell you the truth. But he was hanging around. And Brother Larson said, we're going to dance tonight. He grabbed brothers, come on. Let's have a hold down. You know how he used to. In a circle. Oh my. We need another brother. He ran back to that brother. I thought, oh God. He's gone now. He grabbed that brother. Come on, brother. That brother reluctantly had his... Come on, y'all like this. Brother Larson dragging him. He's looking at me like, Pastor, if you have this evangelist in again, I'll run you out of town. I thought, well, it's over now. He's either going to get in or get out. He's been a thorn in my side anyhow. Ran around one time, boy, if looks could kill, I'd have been dead. Second time, got a little softer. By the third time, the power of God hit him, and he never said another word. Matter of fact, when somebody would get on me about being emotional and doing things that were a little unorthodox, like for a season of time, I'd kick my shoes off over people. I'd get happy, kick my shoes off over a whole section of people, and they get full of the Holy Ghost and get the power of God getting hit them. And people would come, power of God hit me, I'd kick my shoes off. Someone said to him, I don't like that. He said, keep your mouth shut, the pastor's all right. He's a little crazy, but he's all right. He's a little emotional, but he's all right. Can you say amen? He's all right. Amen. The olive oil mixes it together. If you lose one ingredient, then you're not anointed. You don't have the completeness of God. Can you say amen? I'm afraid our Pentecostal churches are moving in one area and another area. Some of them have myrrh. Nothing. Their services are so dead, so dry, that they're dead themselves. So sanctified, they're sanctified. Amen. Praise God. I mean, so strict and so whatever that they just, it's always myrrh, always dying, always this. Then you got the group that is cinnamon. Everything's sweet and lovey-dovey, and there's ever no preaching on how to live a life that's pleasing to God. Then you got some people that just talk about, hard soil and everything's hard. And what? You need a balance. Every one of those ingredients had to be in there. They had to be all there by the same measurement. Can you say, God didn't measure one different than another? They're all there. And in order for you to have a fulfilled, mature Christian life, you need all of these ingredients.
Then you can say, God, anoint me. I'm living an anointed life, pleasing to God. Someone come to the organ, please. Come to the organ or the piano. Anybody? I've scared you off. Somebody move, please. Tonight, it's awkward to preach after an anointed, an altar call service like it just had. I told Brother Eastman, I'd just soon closed. He said, preach. And I tried my best, but I must admit I felt a little hindered. Because I preached pretty long the last few nights. And God bless your hearts. You've endured a lot. You've walked out here saddle sore, Brother Pickett, many times. How many walk out here? Amen. But God bless you. I love you. You know I ain't preaching to be mean to you. My desire is for Pentecost to be real. For Pentecost to be back to its integrity.
Yeah.
Back to the place that it used to be. Instead of all this flim-flam stuff going on. Called the anointed. Come on now. Brother Miller used to have services in this tabernacle where the anointing of God would move. Lady in the church, in my church, said, I don't believe in this miracle stuff. God-filling teeth. My mother-in-law spoke up and said, excuse me, one of my teeth got filled in a meeting. So-and-so's tooth got filled in a meeting. I've been there. I said, you better listen to Mom. She's been there. You just done ruffled her feathers. Tell her this thing, they were saying, hey, a bunch of carrying on, bunch of whatever. We ain't carrying. Well, we carry on the other way. We're not carrying on the right way. Can you say amen? But oh, I remember the days when they shouted and danced and praised God and prayed, and the anointing of God would fall and the power of God would fall. Anointing services my pastor would have where people would be healed, drunk in the Spirit, amen, full of the power of God. But it's a lifestyle. Some of them got a touch, but they didn't follow through and didn't live it, amen. They just got the touch. Some of them, maybe God even used them a little bit, but because it didn't become a life pattern to them, amen, they're still not going on in it now. I'm going to tell you this much. You that are Pentecost now, and you that are anointed now, you that know the Holy Ghost, and you're intimate with God, I'm going to tell you right now, ain't nobody have to work it up in you, do they? Ain't nobody got to hype it up. It's in you. Is it not in you? It flows in you. Not just in church. It flows outside of church. The apostles were anointed of God outside of church. Peter and John came to the gate of beautiful and a crippled man in the ninth hour, heading to prayer, and said, such as we have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, I'm telling you, this thing is so real, you can take it out of the church, and there are people hungry and thirsty and are dying out there that need miracles, that need touch by God. And God wants to use you as an anointed vessel of God that touch humanity. Can you shout hallelujah? He takes you on the mountain to fill you up, and then takes you back down in the valley to demonstrate what's inside of you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I'm a nobody. You know, you're somebody telling everybody. about somebody that can save anybody. You're somebody. You're an anointed vessel. Some of you have been through hard places to where you're an anointed vessel. God has taken you through to mold you and mature you to the place now for such a time in the kingdom. Can you say amen? Stand to your feet if you will. Praise God. I want to pray for you tonight. I want to run a prayer line tonight. And I want to pray for every person that God will touch their life in a special way and take them into a deeper realm. If you don't want to come, God bless you. You won't hurt my feelings one bit. But if you desire a deeper walk, if you desire to live an anointed life, if you desire to live a life that's pleasing and be a consecrated vessel for God's use, then you need to be in this prayer line tonight. Amen. Praise God. So that we can pray and believe God to touch you and to move and work in your life. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, I'd be in this line tonight asking God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Oh, that's just the beginning. Amen. Living the anointed life far beyond tongues and far beyond just praying in a tongue. Amen. It's being totally submissive and totally filled and being used and led by the Spirit of God. Can you say amen? Totally surrendered to a holy God. How many want to be surrendered tonight? How many want to be anointed? How many want to say, God, you anoint me to preach the gospel to the meek. You anoint me to bind up the broken heart. Lord, anoint me so I can do something for the kingdom of God tonight. Start a line right here. Preachers, come and help me. I need some preachers to come and help tonight. Start a line right over here and just back up through there. Line them up. Amen tonight. Hallelujah. I feel the power of God. You ready to lay it on the altar? You ready to lay it on the altar? You ready? You ready to lay it all on the altar? Are you ready to lay it all on the altar? And say to the Lord, teach me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I want to learn how to walk in the Spirit. I want to learn how to be led by the Spirit. I preached for 30-something years. And my prayer is, Lord, lead me. I want to learn. I've not arrived. I need to learn this anointed life. What is the power of God? How do you move? How do you work? I'm glad I'm among brothers and let the Spirit of God lead them and guide them and anoint them. Can you say amen tonight? I want you to open your heart up right where you're at. Lift your hand to God and say, Lord, when I go through that prayer line tonight, I'm not looking for some instant whatever. I want a lifestyle. I want to be a vessel unto honor. I dedicate myself to you afresh. And I'm saying to you, Lord, anoint me. Let me walk into your anointing, Lord. Let me die. Let the love of God flow in me. Let me minister to them that are hurting through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Get ready. Get ready. Power of God's on some of you right now. Just raise your hands. Get ready. Some of you are getting the power of God already. Spirit of God is getting stronger on you. Come on, get ready. Worship the Lord and get ready.